We welcome you to another live edition of the Sports Box, brought to you by our sponsor, Showcase Sports in Hamilton. Showcase Sports for the elite athlete. And by our friends over at CrowdPlay. Download the free CrowdPlay app today and check them out at www.crowdplayapp.com for details. Ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime.
Hey everybody, welcome to Cage My IQ. I'm your host, D-Bake. Joining with me is my co-host, Jim. How's it going today, Jim? Still mute.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep.
All right, let's
take it to the top. Luckily, I can cut this. So, yep. But this is Cage by IQ. I'm your host, D-Bake. Joining with me once again is my co-host, Jim. How's it going, Jim?
I'm doing great, my friend. How are you today?
I am doing good. And another week, another fun prediction show for the UFC.
Yeah, what was your record last week?
Whew, it was too rough. I think it was like 1-3, 1-4. Yeah. No, 2-3. It was 2-3.
Okay. I went 4-1.
Yep. Definitely better than mine. So,
yeah.
But today we will be previewing UFC Fight Night. Dominic Reyes against his opponent, Yuri Prochazka. Trying to say that name is a skill in itself. When you looked at this card, what was the first thing you thought of?
It's a card full of people who most MMA fans who only watch the pay-per-views and stuff may not know.
Yeah.
It's also an up-and-coming showcase for fighters, and it's also a card that features some of the hardest pronouncing names I've ever seen in my life.
But before we get started with that, once again, we are Cage by IQ, the best place for MMA content. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube and Twitch, right there to the left. Those are our handles. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you don't miss any of the content that we put out or any of the interviews that we've been blazing out very quickly of late. We've been lucky enough to put out a bunch the past month. So don't hesitate to miss anything. Subscribe to the YouTube channel and just be ready for all the content. Now, get started with the card right here. Here's the first matchup on hand. We got a women's flyweight matchup between Pollyanna Botello, who is 8-3 and is the -240 favorite, going up against Luana Carolina, who is 6-2 and is the +200 underdog. What do you think about this fight?
Yeah, this is a good matchup with Pollyanna coming in with an 8-3 record, like you said. But six of those wins have been knockouts. She's going up against Luana Carolina with a 6-2 record, but this is also her third opponent change. She was supposed to fight two other opponents before this, but both of these ladies are coming off a loss their last time out, one against Julian Robertson and one against Arianne Lipsky. With this matchup, I really see Pollyanna being too much on the feet for Luana. Like I said earlier, the 6 KOs for Pollyanna has to stand out for something, and she's got really good Muay Thai. And Luana's a good fighter who, as of late, seems to be comfortable going all three rounds and using her reach to her advantage. And like I said, Luana has the 2-inch reach advantage, but I see Pollyanna being able to get in often And if this fight goes to the ground, it's kind of a pick 'em too, because they're both BJJ blue belts. Their games are evolving. So we haven't really seen both of these fighters in a few months, and we haven't seen them demonstrate a lot of their ground game. So it'd be curious to see who shoots for a takedown if that goes that direction. But all in all, with this fight, I'm going with Pollyanna via second round KO.
That's a pretty good one. I didn't expect you to go that route because of what happened to her last time. But for me, it's a little differently. I go a little different. As you see here, we got both fighters. You got Pollyanna is to the left, and Carolina is to the right. Pollyanna is 5'8", 125, orthodox fighter. She connects on 70% of her significant strikes. She has 0.89 takedown average. Her takedown accuracy is 100%. So whenever she shoots, she gets her takedown. But then she's not really known for her submission. Whereas Carolina is 5'6", 125. She's orthodox as well. But she averages 6.29 significant strikes per minute. And her accuracy, it's a little bit lower. It's at 55%. And then she has no takedown and no accuracy with that because she doesn't go for that. But her submission average is 2.38. So she's more of a ground game in this matchup altogether. But for me, with this matchup, I think it comes down to the fighting styles. I feel like Botella's going to want to stand up. Carolina's going to want to probably get this to the ground and get to the grappling because she's, even though she has the significant strikes per minute is up, her bread and butter more so is the grappling and going for a submission. I feel like if Badal was going to win this, her path to victory is going to be the stand up. And I feel like she'll be able to do that. And I feel like she'll take her shots, taking her down, but I feel like it's going to be more so she'll take her down and then let her back up just to, like, kill some of her energy, having to fight off. She'll probably lay on her and guard for, like, a minute and then let her up and then go back at it. But I actually have the same thing. I have Botello with the second round TKO.
Yeah, I think Botello is a little different than most of the opponents Luana has faced.
Yeah.
Her hands are underrated. I mean, we've seen her struggle on the ground against Julian Robertson, but we've also seen Carolina struggle on the ground against Lipsky. They're both evenly matched. This is a very good fight, but I think that Pollyanna, even though Carolina throws a lot of punches often, I think that Pollyanna is more accurate. So I'm going to ride with Pollyanna on this one.
Yeah, definitely. And it's going to be a pretty good matchup. I was surprised when they got booked. I heard that they were supposed to get booked earlier, and then that got scrapped. But then they rebooked it. So obviously they both had interest in this fight.
Yeah.
Whereas usually if something like that happens, you have both fighters go elsewhere because they already tried that route. But they definitely made this happen, and it's going to be a pretty good first fight on the main card.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how Botella addresses this because she was supposed to fight somebody earlier, and then just a month ago, her other opponent had to drop out, and they rebooked it with Luana. So,
yeah, you
know, three opponent changes is pretty difficult when the styles are conflicting. So I'm curious to see how that training camp, shorter training camp, affected her approach.
Yep. But let's move on to the second fight on the card, which is a bantamweight matchup, which we got Mram Davalishvi, who is 12-4 and is the -240 favorite, going up against Cody Stamann, who is 19-3-1 and is the +200 underdog. What do you think of this matchup?
Yeah, I like this matchup a lot. Both of these guys have cardios for days. Marab is literally his nickname. He's a machine and is riding a 5-fight win streak with big wins over John Dodson and Casey Kenney. Now he welcomes Cody Stamann back to the bantamweight division. He went up to featherweight for 2 fights. Did really go his way up there. This is going to be a wrestle-heavy matchup, in my opinion. But I can see both of these guys mixing in flurries to disguise their shoots. And Cody has an underrated stand-up. He's got a few knockout victories and could end this fight standing. However, Merab has a very unique sambo style, which he incorporates a lot of different spinning attacks and explosive takedowns. With this fight, I'm riding the hot hand, and I'm going with Merab Dzhivolishvili by decision.
Yeah, definitely. As I bring this up again, you got Merab, who is 5'6", 135, orthodox fighter. He connects on 3.91 strikes per minute. He has a 56.81 accuracy, and then he has an absurd 7.71 takedown average per fight, and then his accuracy is 43.58. So he shoots for a lot,
yeah.
And he connects on about half of them, and then he has a 0.29 submission average, whereas Cody Stammen is 5'6", 145, so he has an extra 10 pounds to him. He's also an orthodox fighter, stance-wise. He gets about 4.14 significant strikes per minute, and then his accuracy for the strikes is 56.7. His takedown average is 3.03, where he averaged just about the same, just about half the accuracy rise, and then he doesn't really go for submissions at all. So, but I feel like he's more of the stand-up and trade type guy. Like he'll go bow for bow with you, whereas Morab's going to go for the wrestling. Like he has a more established wrestling sambo style where he pressures you forward, and he's going to look to do that. Whereas even though Stammen has the wrestling, I feel like he's going to know that Merab has that sambo style, so he might look to abandon the takedowns and the wrestling. He's going to look to stand up and trade with him instead, and that's why I feel like Morab's going to get the upper hand, because he's going to have the upper hand from the beginning. Usually you're going to try and go for your own tactics and then wait until they don't work to then go to game plan number two. But I feel like Cody's going to go to game plan number two from the start. So I think Merab's going to go after him. He's going to be able to pressure him forward, get him down several times. I think he's going to wind up getting four or five takedowns. I think that's how advantage-wise he's going to have. And he's just going to smother him. He's going to change guards, elbow him, and just wear him out to the point where he's not going to be able to do too much and even go for the wrestling if he tries to go back to it. And I have Merab winning this by a unanimous decision. I don't think he'll knock him or knock out or submit Cody Stam because he's a tough guy, but I think he's going to get so far up on the judges' scorecards that he's just going to ride a unanimous decision to victory.
Yeah, Merab's a great point fighter. I believe the last five fights that he's been in has gone to decision. He faced a guy who's really tricky in the cage last matchup against Dodson and was really able to kind of piece together a good point win. You know what I mean? Cody, on the other hand, went up. I think he fought Brian Kelleher at featherweight, and then he fought Jimmy Rivera a couple months ago. And we talked about this. I thought Cody Stammen was going to implement his wrestling more against Jimmy Rivera. He didn't even use it. He abandoned it. He tried to stand and bang, and he got outclassed by Jimmy Rivera. But Jimmy Rivera outclasses a lot of his opponents. Merab is a whole different animal than Jimmy Rivera, because Jimmy Rivera's put your head down. He's going to wear you down. Merab's going to dance around the cage. He's going to kick your calves. He's going to do like a tornado kick. He's going to look like a Mortal Kombat character out there.
Yeah.
and then he picks you up and, you know, does a wrestling move and almost suplexes you. You know, he's got so much power. We really haven't seen Merab dominate it, except for like that Ricky Simone fight way back. I think it was in Atlantic City of all places, with that weird choke at the end where he was on his bike the whole time. He gets choked out and he gets, and Ricky Simone gets that submission win. So I'm very curious to see how Matt Serra and Ray Longo have really been working with Merab in the time off. He's a training partner with Aljamain in the same division. So, you know, that Serra Longo camp puts out a bunch of studs. So I'm curious to see if this is that next step for Merab to kind of break into, you know, a bigger name, not no offense to Cody Stammen, but like a top six opponent.
Yeah. And they're not afraid to do the wrestling. They're not afraid to, they know that that's their bread and butter. So they're going to push that against the world, no matter what. Well, I feel like with Cody, like you hit the nail on the coffin right there with Jimmy Rivera. I think he was scared to because Jimmy Rivera has a wrestling background too.
Yeah,
I feel like whenever he goes up, Cody goes up against a guy with a similar background, he gets afraid to use that, so he just uses the stand-up game. And you got to be able to have a complete confidence in yourself, no matter what. Even if the guy has similar style, yeah, you use that to your advantage. Even if he does, you use that. You act like you're going for the takedown, and then you go and shoot. Which with the combinations, you can use that to your advantage. But if you're just going to completely abandon it, that's not going to work. Then he knows that you're afraid. It's putting him in the driver's seat.
Yeah, it's like with Tyron Woodley, right? He would always feel confident in his punch power, right? One punch knockout. Yeah. And then later in his career, he abandoned his wrestling. Mm-hmm. You know, you saw it against Usman. You saw it against Covington. You saw it against Burns. And you saw it against Luke. He just tried to stand and bang with you. And maybe that's Cody's thing, where he got a bunch of power punches in, some knockouts, and got comfortable and kind of abandoned the wrestling. But I'd like to see him go back to his wrestling, even though it's not, you know, that super entertaining for a fighter. I like to see a wrestling clinic between two great wrestlers.
Yeah. But let's move on to the next fight on the card. It's the third fight, which is a middleweight matchup between Sean Strickland, who is 22-3 and is a -250 favorite, going up against Christoph Jocko, who's 22-4 and is the +210 underdog. How do you feel about this fight?
First, I feel that I'm glad that this fight is happening without fans, because Sean Strickland is another Kevin Holland. He's always talking in the cage. But both of these guys are extremely exciting fighters. You have Sean Strickland, who's coming off a 3-fight win streak with the Instant Classic with Jack Marshman. Not only is it fun to watch him fight, but Strickland, like I said, is a talker like Kevin Holland. He's facing Jocko, who's also riding a 3-fight win streak, most recently beating former Cage My IQ guest Eric Anders. These two guys have knockout power, but they are also comfortable with letting it go to the distance with a combined 25 decision wins. So I expect this to be an entertaining fight. A lot of stand-up between these two is what I'm thinking. A lot of kicks, a lot of body kicks, real good stand-up. But I think this is going to be closer than a lot of people are putting out there. That 250 is kind of glaring to me. I'm going to go with Jocko by decision. I'm taking the underdog. I think that Strickland's going to talk his way out of a win here.
Yeah, and then another Cage My IQ moment here. Both fighters here are training partners to two guys that I had the privilege of interviewing last month, and Jordan Young. He trains with Jocko, and then Sam Alvey trains with Sean Strickland over there in California. So they have ties to Cage My IQ past interviewers. So that's a good thing to note. But as you see here, Strickland is 6'1", 185, orthodox fighter. He gets about 5.09 significant strikes per minute, where he averages accuracy-wise 41.57 of those to connect. Then he has 1.26 takedowns per fight, and then his takedowns are usually 60% accurate. So he's usually pretty good with getting his takedowns. And then he has 0.42 submission average, his poor fight. Whereas Jocko is 6'1", 185. He is a southpaw stance, so it's going to be a little nice matchup with two different stances. He averages 2.98 strikes per minute, and then his accuracy with the strikes are 61.05, so he's more accurate when he goes for his strikes. And then he gets 1.27, just beats him by 0.01 on the takedown average. And then, but his average takedown accuracy is only at 35, so he shoots for less. I feel like with this matchup, with a lot of the things being the same, but the strike per minute, I feel like these guys are going to be just standing up and trading. They're not going to go for the takedown. They're not going to go for the submission. They're going to go for the striking and the kicks and whatnot. And if I know Jordan Young and how he trains, that camp uses a lot of kicks and a lot of combinations. So I'm actually going to go with you on this. I won't go too much into depth with this. I'm going to go with you with Christoph Jocko, and I'm going to go with him winning by a unanimous decision in his matchup. I feel like he's going to mix up the kicks to offset all the striking that Strickland does, because Strickland is more so takedown, and then he mixes up kicks, strikes along with it. But his game's a little bit less, in my opinion, than Jocko's. I think people are going to sleep on Jocko because Strickland is the bigger name in this matchup. And I feel like he's going to come in too overconfident because of that. And I feel like he's going to not go with the takedown because of it. He'll think, all I have to do is knock him out in this matchup. All I have to do is my striking. And he's going to get caught by surprise by Jocko, who's going to get ahead on the scorecards with his kicks and the striking. He's going to do a lot of kicks to the legs to slow down Strickland, so he can't go to the takedowns when he realizes that he's going to need to. And Jocko's going to win this by a unanimous decision.
Yeah, this is it's an even fight. I'm surprised the numbers are where they're at, because these guys are, like you said, almost virtually identical. They just have a strength in two different categories. This one's, it's kind of weird, because like if you go back to the Strickland and Marshman fight, Strickland was open for punches and he was allowing Jack Marshman to take shots at him, but Marshman's gas tank was empty.
Yeah.
Where Jocko's got a pretty good gas tank. So you can't play those games. You can't take those risks. And it's no offense to, like, I always feel bad when I'm picking against people, because I know you're an active interviewer and I don't want them coming on and be like, you guys don't pick against me. But I'm going to ride with Jocko this time. But I expect a pretty explosive fight.
Me too. It has the makings to be underlining the fight of the night type of atmosphere with these two. And I feel like that's my pick. This is my pick to be the fight of the night. It's either this or the next matchup. But as long as Strickland does what I think he's going to do and doesn't give his full effort in, because he thinks he's going to just have it in the bag, then I think it's going to be a long day at the office for him.
Yeah, this is going to go to full three rounds, I believe, just like you said.
Yeah, definitely. But let's move on to the fourth fight on the card. By the way, there's six fights on the card compared to five, which is nice. So instead of having five, there's an extra one, which is always good. But the fourth fight on the card is a light heavyweight matchup between Ian Kutalaba, who is 15-6 and is the -140 favorite, going up against Dustin Jacoby, who is 14-5 and is the +110 underdog. How do you feel about this fight?
This is a matchup like we see on a lot of these cards, where the two records are going in an opposite direction. On one side, you have Kutalaba, who is looking to get his first win since 2019, and just Dustin Jacoby, who is looking to score his fifth win in a row. For Ian, this must be a welcomed opponent, since his last two fights were against the same fighter, and then he had to battle COVID, and there's a lot of layoffs for Ian in the last year and a half. And I'm sure he's looking forward to fighting somebody new, especially an orthodox fighter who is unlikely to shoot for a bunch of takedowns. For Jacoby, he's going to be more of the stand-up kickboxer, looking for the knockout. And I'd like to see Ian utilize his Greco-Roman wrestling background to kind of wear Jacoby down. I know you were talking about that earlier in a previous fight. Should lay on you, point fight from the bottom, control the ground. But with this fight, I'm actually going to go with Jacoby by second round KO, another underdog pick, because every time I pick Ian Kutalaba, he loses. And I feel like I am his Achilles heel. So I'm going to go against him with this one and take the underdog.
I don't know what's in the water with us today, but you read my mind with this matchup as well. So I'm going in the same direction as you. But we got Ian Kutalaba, who his last fight got beat in a rubber matchup against Magomed Ankalaev. He complained about the matchup, and he just got completely destroyed by one of Habib's henchmen, is what I would say. Nice. And then you got Dustin Jacoby. If you know his story, it's a really good story. He made it to the UFC 10 years ago, had a small stint, and then got released. And then about a few months ago, he was on the Dana White Contender Series, and he made it on there and had a very nice showing on there. Got a contract, had his first fight back in 10 years, and now he's getting booked into this with Ian Cutelaba. He had a great showing in that fight, and he's a knockout guy. He's a guy like has a little bit of boxing background. He when he throws down. He knows exactly what he's doing. Like he's sold into that at his age. So like he's not taking anything for granted this time. But Cutelaba 6'1", 205. He has a southpaw stance. He gets 5.10 significant strikes per minute. And then his accuracy with that is 39.85. His takedown average is 2.41 takedowns per fight. And then his accuracy with that is 71.43, which is crazy good. Exactly what you said. He should be leaning towards that, whereas he has zero submission accuracy.
Yeah.
Then you got Jacoby, who is 6'3", 205. He's an orthodox fighter. He averages 3.68 significant strikes landed per minute. And then his accuracy is right there in the middle, 50%. His takedown average is 0.22. And then his accuracy with his takedowns are 100%. So whenever he shoots for a takedown, he gets it. It's just not going to be as often.
Yeah.
So with this fight, it's the batter of a wrestling style background against a brawler. That's what I say, a brawler and a wrestler. So it's the underlining is whether Cutelaba is going to be able to get his takedowns and keep Jacoby on the ground and avoid the shots. Whereas Jacoby needs to avoid the takedowns and then keep the fight standing. Because if he does that, he has the better striking game. And then he has the better power strike. If he can land one of those, he can finish Ian Cutelaba at any moment. And just like you said, this is about two guys going in opposite directions. Cutelaba was one of those guys that were very highly salted like a year ago, and now he's going on downwards, whereas Jacoby's come back into the dance, his second stint in the UFC, and he had a great showing on the Contender Series and a great showing in his first fight back. And he's going to want to continue to rise up into that top 15 range of the light heavyweight division. And I feel like he's going to win by second round knockout. I feel like the first round might be Cutelaba getting his game going. He's going to get one or two takedowns, but I feel like he's going to wear himself out a little bit. And I feel like he's going to not defend himself to the best of his ability. And all it's going to take is that one shot by Jacoby, to lay him out. And I feel like he's going to have that one shot in him. And Cutelaba is going to be on the ground in the second round. And Dustin Jacoby is going to have his hand raised in victory.
Nice. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for Cutelaba to kind of shoot in as Jacoby's flurrying kicks in there. He's going to have to work on catching those kicks. And I'm sure he did in this camp. When you go up against a kickboxer, you're going to have to try and negate his ability to land those big shots. So maybe what you can expect from Cutelaba is to kind of wear down on the wheels of Jacoby, pepper in some kicks of his own, those back calf kicks that is really popular right now, and try to hobble Jacoby. You can even look to see him take like the Anthony Smith approach, right? Where Anthony Smith threw that debilitating, devastating kick to Jimmy Crute and kind of ruined my perfect record last week. But if you can kind of negate the big strikes and get closer to get your takes, your shoots for takedowns, I think it'd be easier for Cutelaba, but I'm still going to ride with Jacoby.
Yeah, no, most definitely. Like that has to be his game plan, is his wrestling and takedown, and then wear him out from there. Because Dustin Jacoby's his gas tank's not that great.
Yeah,
he usually tries to manage it. Like once you get past round two, like he's basically tired. So I don't know. Like, if he can wear him out with the takedown in round one and then just kind of coast round two and then avoid the shot going into round three, unless you can knock Jacoby out, that's your best path to victory, is to do that. Because by round three, because you wore him out with the takedown and smothering him in the first round, and then he probably tries to go gutting for you in the second round, he's going to have nothing left in the tank. I just feel like he's going to slip up in round two, and that's where Jacoby's going to catch him.
Yeah, and you know, we haven't seen a lot of different approaches to opponents from Kudalaba because he has fought Magomed twice. So I'm looking forward to see him against somebody else that's not Magomed.
Yeah, me too. And difference-wise, opponent-wise, there's nothing any more different than Magomed to Dustin Jacoby.
Absolutely.
A complete striker against a complete Sambo wrestler who's known for ground and pound. But, that's what I think. I think it's a second-round knockout by Dustin Jacoby.
Nice.
Yep. But let's move on to the co-main event of the evening, which pins a featherweight matchup between Cub Swanson, a mainstay of the UFC, going up against Giga Chikadze, where Cub is 27-11 and is the +135 underdog, and Chika Dadze is 12-2 and is the -155 favorite. What do you think of this matchup?
This is the most intriguing matchup of the night. It's a veteran in Cub going up against an up-and-coming fighter like Giga. The glaring difference between these two is the size difference. Cub Swanson is 5'7", where Giga is 6 feet tall. Giga is your knockout artist with tremendous stand-up and world-class kickboxing. He has a crazy liver kick from the opposite side called the Giga kick. And then Cub is one of the toughest fighters in the division, has faced some of the biggest name and come out on top. In order for Cub to win, he needs to use his MMA experience and his unusual octagon movement to his advantage. He should look to get Giga on the ground if he can, negate that reach advantage, and use his BJJ black belt to his advantage as well. With Giga, his game plan is to go in and knock out his opponent in highlight-worthy style and collect 50 Gs like he's normally out there doing. I'm a huge fan of Cub, but I think this is a really tough matchup for him. And with that being said, I'm going to go with Giga by a KO. I just don't know which round. I think it's going to be the second round.
Whew. We finally have something different here.
Nice.
To gun with, because I'm thinking the complete opposite. Like with the, just like you said, Giga comes in, he's a knockout artist. He has the height, 6 foot, whereas Cub Swanson is 5'8" and he's coming in at 145 pounds. They're both 145 pounds. They're both orthodox. But before I break it down into this, the one thing that I've noticed with Cub Swanson is he's a veteran of the UFC. He's won about 10 fight of the night bonuses and honors. And a big thing with him is his cardio. He has one of the best cardios in the division. And he's a very explosive fighter with that. So if there's anything that can combat the knockout power of Giga, it is Cub Swanson. Cub Swanson is coming in 4.64 significant strikes landed per minute. His accuracy is at, I believe it's 64%. His takedown average is 1.09, in which his accuracy on that is 51.06%. And then he has a 0.45 submission average, whereas Giga, his 3.45 is his significant strikes landed per minute. His accuracy on that is 44.93. His takedown average is 0.38. And then the accuracy on that is 33.33% with no submission average at all. The way I think this is going to go is Giga's going to come in. He's going to look for the explosive knockout. He's going to come in guns blazing. But because of the gas tank and the cardio of Cub Swanson, I feel like he's going to go in for that, for the takedown. Like it says before, he averages 1.09 per fight. I think he's going to use that to his advantage, that he has that background. And he's going to, that's how he's going to surprise Giga. He's going to take him down to the ground, knowing that he has the cardio, and he's going to try and wear him out a little bit on the ground, and then mix a little bit of his explosive striking on the ground and up top. Giga's going to come into unknown territories with that, in my opinion. And it remains to be seen how he's going to do when the pressure's on him being on his back. But I feel like Cub Swanson's going to pick this up. He's going to get his game going. He's going to avoid the lethal shots of Chidaski, and he's going to pick up the unanimous decision victory over his opponent. So Cub Swanson by a unanimous decision.
I'm not mad at that. I love Cub Swanson. So any chance I can see him win, I'm happy for him. He's also been training with a bunch of killers, right? So if you look at his training partners, Juan Archuleta, right? Bellator, great champion.
Yeah.
Lance Palmer, PFL champion. TJ Dillashaw, who unfortunately had to get scrapped from his upcoming matchup because of an eye injury, but former UFC champion. All of those guys are really good wrestlers. So it kind of looks like the game plan's set, right? That Cub's going to take more of a ground approach because we haven't seen Giga on the ground. We haven't really seen a lot of Giga in general. He's a quick in-and-out kind of fighter. Knock him out, get him out, we're good. So I would like to see Cub implement his ground game for sure.
Yeah, because if he can, then it's going to be a long day at the office because then he has to contend with the knockout shots that Giga has. And then his best bet, Cub's best bet, is to make this fight go longer than what it should go. Because Giga's one is going to want to finish this as soon as possible because he knows that Cub has a gas tank and he could go forever. And more than likely, he's going to go for the unanimous decision. That's what Cub's going to go for. And Giga is going to be like, okay, I got to knock him out or at least get a shot on him early to slow him down. Because if I don't, that's not going to work in my favor. It's going to work against me. And he's going to do whatever he can to limit how many shots I can get off.
Yeah, Cub's a savvy vet. So he's going to try and work that decision and wear out this young fighter.
Yep. But let's move on to the main event of the evening, which is a light heavyweight matchup that I'm looking forward to between Dominic Reyes, who's 12-2 and is the +110 underdog, going up against Yuri Prochaska, who's 27-3-1 and is the -130 favorite. How you see this going?
Yeah, I think those numbers changed since yesterday, so I'm curious to see what happened. This fight has title implications and is quite similar to the Kudalaba and Jacoby fight in terms of records. Reyes is coming off of two big losses, albeit it was against John Jones and Jan Błachowicz, whereas Yuri is coming in having won 11 in a row. He hasn't lost since 2015 and also has a win versus the current Bellator light heavyweight champion, who's no slouch in his own right. When it comes down to this matchup, they both have devastating power on their feet. But Dom has an evolving ground game with two wins via submission. Yuri is your stand-up and throw fighter, but has such a bizarre style that gives unusual looks and very little setups. If you go back to his fight with Volkan Oezdemir, he kept his hands down and took some shots and kind of absorbed a lot of shots. At one point, I think Oezdemir buckled him a little bit. He needs to be careful with Dominic. Dominic has a lot of power, not saying that Volkan has no power, but Dominic has a lot of power. And speaking of Dominic, he has faced the tougher opponents and the tougher competition and is due for a big win to reestablish his name in the division. However, with that, all that being said, I see Yuri Prochaska using that 3-inch reach advantage to get in and get the win. So I'm going to go with Yuri by a third round knockout.
Yeah, for me, it depends on which Yuri which Dominic Reyes we see in this matchup, because the one we saw in John Jones was to perfection.
Yeah.
And then his fight against Jan Błachowicz as well, I believe it was. It was just near perfection where he would circle around, use the octagon, kept on staying to the side of John Jones and just throwing strikes, throwing input, and then avoiding the shots that he needed to avoid. And he looked like he was in perfect shape doing that. Whereas in his fight against Jan Błachowicz, it was the complete opposite. It looked like he was out of shape. He looked like he was just out of it. His game plan wasn't going. His just mood was completely different. I feel like he was still thinking about the John Jones decision because, in my opinion, he should have got that victory, and he wound up getting the loss. And I feel like it stuck with him through that whole training camp and then the whole fight against Jan Błachowicz, who just looked more hungry in that matchup. But he has fought the better competition. But just like you said, Jiří Prochazka presents a crazy different style that you just can't mistake. But going into the stats right here, you got Reyes, who's 6'4", 205. He's a southpaw fighter. He gets 4.53 significant strikes landed per minute. His accuracy is 50.35. His takedown average is 0.20. And his takedown accuracy is 15.67. So he doesn't go for the takedown that often. But when he tries to, he gets lucky once in a while. And then his submission average is 0.20, whereas Yuri's 6'3", 205. His reach is at 80 inches. That's something to note in this matchup. Just like you said, it kind of has that reach like John Jones, where it's a long reach. He's an orthodox stance fighter. His significant strikes land per minute is at 5.67. His accuracy on those is 45.21, which is just about halfway mark. He doesn't go for takedowns, so he has no accuracy because he doesn't go for it. And then he doesn't go for submission. So you can definitely tell his style is standing up and trading. That's what his style is. He knows what it is, and that's what he goes for. It's worked for him. He's 27-3 for a reason, whereas Dominic Reyes, he uses his cardio. He has great cardio. That's what he uses, but he's prone to get hit with bad shots every now and then when he's not focused on the fight, as you saw with the Janjovic fight. His focus slipped just a little bit, and that's what cost him the fight. And I feel in this matchup, it's going to be better. It's five rounds. He's going to use that to his advantage. He's going to move around, but I feel like he's going to slip once. He's gonna get clipped in the chin, and I feel like he's gonna be winning up until round four, and then I feel like he's gonna get caught with the punch, and it's gonna put him to the ground, and he's gonna lose by fourth round knockout.
Okay, I agree with you with what you said about Reyes after the John Jones fight. I think he hung his cap on that he was the champion. Great fight, probably the best we've ever seen, and despite the outcome. I agree. I think he should have got that nod as well. It was very close. And I understand that the judges went with Jones because he's the champion. You got to do something spectacular to take the belt from one of the greatest. Yeah. But with Jiří, like, I'm curious to see what his gas tank is like. A lot of his fights don't make it out of the first and second round. So if we're going in a five-fight main event, I'm going third round KO, I still think his gas tank might be in question. And I know you said fourth. That's still a big question. I'm curious to see where they go with Jiří after this. His rise to stardom in the UFC is crazy. I think this is, what, a second fight in the UFC?
I believe
so. It was Volkan was his first one, and before that he was beating CB Dalloway in another promotion. So
obviously they think highly of him if they're already giving him to Dominic Reyes, who is just coming off of having a title fight and then having a fight against the new champ now in Janjovic.
Yeah, two title fights in a row.
So obviously, he has high hopes. Dana White has high hopes for Jiří if they're going to feed him right to the wolves right away. Going from Oldsmere to right to Reyes, that's a big jump, in my opinion.
It's huge. You're going from unranked to seven, and now you're fighting four. If he beats Dom, he's in and out. Like we said, he's quick. He's quick to get these wins. If he comes out unscathed, they're going to keep him ready and keep him in the wings for a backup for that Glover and Jan fight. And if Glover doesn't make it, they're just going to throw these two action figures into the ring, the cage together and fight. I'm very interested in this fight.
Yeah, so am I, just for that matter. And then just thinking of how the light heavyweight divisions and all these new talent. You had Ankalaev moving into the top 10. Mm-hmm. You got him right here. You got Rakic right there. I would love to see Rakic against Jiří Prochazka. That'd be a barnstormer in itself. You still have the champ.
Thiago Santos versus Jiří.
Thiago Santos, And then, of course, you got Glover Teixeira, who's fighting the champ, Janjovic. And then you got Span. You got Anthony Span. Smith. You got Anthony Smith. You did have Jimmy Crute before the crazy leg kick. So yeah, luckily they're have a rematch, I think. And then you even have the winner of Paul Craig and Jamal Hill.
Yeah.
So you got all these guys right there that are looking to break into that title picture. And this guy just comes right in, gets the fight, wins it, and then now he's getting this top five matchup. Yeah. Where my favorite guy in the division, Magomed Ankalaev, had to do a little bit of damage to get into that top 10. And I think it's because of Prokaska's record. He's an established fighter, so I think that's why they did it. But like, if he wins this matchup, it'll be hard-pressed to think that he doesn't deserve at least a number one contender fight.
Yeah, for sure. Like, him and Santos would make sense right after, if this is a win, maybe in the summer or the early fall.
Well, that's why I think it's him and Rakic, because Rakic won, and Rakic, I think, is ranked number two, I think, now. So,
man, what an ascent of power on his, too. It's crazy. Like, 3 years ago, the light heavyweight division was nothing like this. It was John Jones and DC just jockeying for position and fighting each other on Twitter. And now we have a huge batch of new blood and new fighters that are exciting and powerful. It's great to be an MMA fan right now.
Exactly. And that's why you have all these different avenues now that Dana White is working from. He had LFA, which he's getting guys going to Dana White Contender Series. And then now that you have fighters fighting more than just once every 3 months or every 4 months, you got guys taking fights on 3 weeks, 4 weeks notice.
Yeah.
So they're fighting more, and it's making them want to come there and fight and give it their all, because now they're going to get paid more by giving more fights within a year. Because usually, at the most, you would see him fight three times a year.
Yeah.
Now seeing Figueiredo, who had six fights last year, or Kevin Holland, who had five fights last year, it's making an emphasis on the fighter now, and they're getting more crops of talent from different promotions or side promotions that are coming in.
Yeah.
So it's helping out building divisions with the younger talent.
Yeah. It like I said, man, it's great to be an MMA fan outside of UFC. Yeah. You've got one championship killing it. PFL's back. You have Bellator. It LFA. You have so many good things going on right now. So I'm excited. But this fight, I think this is going to be the fight of the night, honestly. I think that this is going to be the best fight of the card.
I was thinking that, but it depends on what Dominic Reyes shows up. I don't know what version of him is going to show up, because, like I said, the past two fights, we've seen two completely different versions of himself, just in mindset and then his game plan.
Yeah.
Totally different, and I think he needs to be on the ball, because he can't slip in this matchup, because if he does, just like against Jan, he's going to get caught and he's going to get put to sleep.
Yeah, we need the Dominic Reyes that fought Chris Weidman.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Definitely, because that's him at his best. But that is the end of our UFC Fight Night, Dominic Reyes versus Jiří Prochazka preview show. I'm your host, D-Bake. This is my co-host, Jim. You can find us every Thursday afternoon or night, where we post our preview show on the YouTube page. And then you can find me every Monday night at 8:30 on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch, where me and Miles Long will recap the show with everybody. It's a great thing. We recap it. We do a little bit of BSing and talking about the news. And then we just hear feedback from all the fans. So we thank everybody that tunes in every week. But like I said before, this is Cage by IQ. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch. We're the best place for MMA content. And don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel, because that's where we store all the past content. So if you miss anything, just subscribe to that channel and go back and watch it and comment on all the videos and let us know what you think so we can get back to you. And then, once again, we are affiliated with the Sports Box. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Got a whole bunch of different podcasts on there for every different sport. So whatever you are into, more than likely we have a podcast for you. But once again, this was the UFC Fight Night preview. You guys have a wonderful rest of your night.
See ya.
Thank you for watching this episode of Cage My IQ on the Sports Box. Please remember to follow us on all of our social media outlets. On Facebook at Sports Box Show, Twitter at Sports Box Show, Instagram at The Sports Box Show. Find us on YouTube and join Outside the Box, our Facebook sports discussion group. The Sports Box is brought to you by our sponsor, Showcase Sports in Hamilton. Showcase Sports for the elite athlete. And also our friends over at CrowdPlay. Download the free CrowdPlay app today and use promo code THEBOX at sign up for 10 free points. Thank you for joining us.